Radio Prague News.
A search is on for a 50-year-old woman who went missing in the flash floods that hit North Bohemia on Saturday. The health authorities have started inoculating children in the flooded regions against hepatitis. And masses were held around the country on Monday commemorating the legacy of the 15th century reformer priest Jan Hus. A search is on for a 50-year-old woman who went missing in the flash floods that hit North Bohemia on Saturday. The woman was from Benešov nad Pločnici and was last seen by neighbours in her backyard when the town was hit by a 2-metre flood wave. Police and firefighters are combing the vicinity for her. She may be the only victim of the floods in the north of the country. Nationwide, the floods claimed 14 lives and caused over 6 billion crowns in damages. The health authorities have started inoculating children in the flooded regions against hepatitis. In the next few days, over 3,000 children in the north, south and east of the country are to be vaccinated free of charge. Epidemiologists have warned people involved in clean-up operations to take extra precautions in order to prevent the spread of disease. Many areas remain on emergency water supplies and thousands of homes are still inhabitable. Masses were held around the country on Monday commemorating the legacy of the 15th century reformer priest Jan Hus, who was burnt at the stake on July 6, 1415. Born in Husinec, South Bohemia, Jan Hus became a Catholic priest and the rector of the University of Prague. He was strongly influenced by the English reformer priest John Wycliffe, whose works he translated into Czech, and he proposed to reform the Church of Bohemia just as Wycliffe had in England. He was excommunicated by the Catholic Church in 1411 before being condemned as a heretic and executed in Constance 4 years later. July 6th is a public holiday in his memory, and the event is marked by religious services, concerts, exhibitions and even theatre performances. This year the festivities were low-key due to the floods, but thousands of people attended the mass in his birthplace Husinec and in Prague's Bethlehem Chapel where he preached. It has been a tragic weekend on Czech roads, with 10 people killed and 30 seriously injured in the past 2 days. Overall, traffic police dealt with 330 accidents and 170 people were injured in the space of 48 hours. The police ascribed this to the increased amount of traffic at the start of the school holidays, but warned that the number of deaths and injuries is twice higher as compared to last year's figures. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days are expected to be partly cloudy to overcast with intervals of rain and shine and day temperatures between 19 and 24 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarova and that's the end of the news.
You're tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, and as today is a national holiday, we bring you a special programme. This year, as we mark the 20th anniversary of the fall of communism, we're reminded how much of 20th century history has passed through the Czech capital. The focus of much that has happened in Prague over the last 100 years has been Wenceslas Square, tree-lined and nearly a kilometre long, the buzzing heart of the city, and with the bronze statue of the Czech patron, St. Wenceslas, standing guard at the top of the square. One person who has lived on Wenceslas Square nearly all her life is Vera Kelbelova. From her unique vantage point, she's witnessed many of the events, joyous, dramatic and tragic, that have shaped the Czech nation over the last 70 years. Over the next 20 minutes, she shares some of her memories from the square. An eyewitness at the very heart of recent Czech history.
My name is Vera Kelbo. I am 74 years old woman. I am retired physician. Gynecologist at obstetrics was my field. And I am standing at my window just above the large tree coming through the top of Wenceslas Square. I'm living in the same place since I was 4. Now only with my husband, but I can see all the members of my family in the sitting room or any place of the flat. We can see the building of National Museum from my window. It's on the right side. On the left side, there is, in my eyes, not very beautiful modern building, previously being a so-called federal parliament. Then it was a seat of Radio Free Europe. And then a little bit further on, there is a building of Municipal Opera House. The styles here are completely different. That one, the building of the theater, and the building of National Museum, it's the 19th century style, and that one of the federal building is a concrete iron building without any meaning to me, but it's a big, big, huge, huge construction. My flat is, in eyes of a modern life, very old fashioned, but I want to keep it as I was used to it. Sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's really ridiculous. But, you know, life is changing. But I would like to have one place where I feel with my husband safe, and things which I love and which are bringing me a feeling of safety and balance of the life.
Alle Sudetendeutschen, dem Führer des großen Deutschlands, Adolf Hitler, Sieg Heil!
Sieg Heil! At that time, when the German occupation started, my mother had to quit her position in the hospital because there was not enough free working places for men, so therefore she joined my father, and she, since that time, she was the nurse at my father's private practice.
And so your father was a doctor as well?
My father was a doctor as well, and he had his private practice here in this flat too. I have one very unpleasant memory from the time of Nazi occupation, while they have headquarters here on the other corner of our street. The Gestapo had the main station here. And while I was going to school each morning, I have to meet the German soldiers being on guard, going forwards and backwards with their heavy boots, making the funny clink noise on the pavement, which is done from the granite squares. I was very afraid of these silhouettes of two men going backwards and forwards with a grayish helmet on, having their weapon just in front of their bodies.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Pride calling London. This is Pride calling London. Pride is in great danger. The Germans are attacking with tanks and planes. We are calling urgently our allies to help. Send immediately tanks and aircraft. Help us defend Prague. Do not let Prague be destroyed.
I remember time of Prague Revolution in 1945, the Prague uprising just at the end of the war. We were in our cellar. All inhabitants of the house were there sitting on the benches, and suddenly the corner house was bombed by a German airplane and it started to burn, and we had to quit our shelter. So we, my mother, my brother, and other inhabitants of the house, we went out of the hiding place. We have to climb up the huge mountain of bricks and wooden beams. I can easily recall the fire beneath me. We crossed the Wenceslas Square. We had in front of the group a man holding the flag of Red Cross. And in the middle of the square, just beneath the statue of St. Wenceslas, the Nazi shot him to death. And we continued our run. We ran. But me, I can see his body just on the ground. And he was shot because of us. So this was 1945.
Právě se vracím na radu od prezidenta republiky.
Then came communism. I was a student of Akademické gymnázium in Štěpánská, very close to Wenceslas Square. And we came once, and half of our professors were just thrown out of the building of the school because, well, only the members of the party can be the members of teaching team of young students. So at that moment, we lost our most beloved professor of history, Czech language, Latin, aesthetics and drawing.
This was because they were considered politically unreliable.
It was considered that they can't have their positions anymore because they have been considered politically unreliable.
Rakev s tělem Klementa Gottwalda míjí budovu ústředního výboru komunistické strany Československa zahalenou v černi smutečního flóru.
When Klement Gottwald died, so the funeral, the main part of it was arranged here. The body was carried. And I remember there were two rows of soldiers along the coffin. And one of the young soldiers just collapsed, fainted. It was a big sensation. 10 of policemen ran there, pulled him out of the place, and another quickly stand up. So I was so sorry for that young man because he couldn't bear more the standing position, maybe from 5 in the morning until this was noontime. this was the memory for Gottwald's funeral.
Soviet Union announced this morning that its troops had been called into Czechoslovakia at the urgent request of
Huge crowds on Wenceslas Square, however, took to chanting, and then a huge column of mostly young people formed up at the bottom of the square and proceeded slowly up it towards the Wenceslas statue, the very symbol of their fight for national...
I wasn't here when the Russian occupation started with tanks along our street. We were spending our vacation in that time Yugoslavia. As I put it, my mother was here and we were very afraid what's happening here, so even therefore we returned back home from the beach with our small daughter being 1.5 year old. In 1969, in winter time, starting winter, Jan Palach sacrificed himself just on the upper part of Wenceslas Square. He burned himself. I wasn't present, but my mommy was, and she told me then that one of the men who were employed with the streetcars here, because at that time the streetcars were going here, he ran out of the streetcar and tried to cover Palach with his fur coat to put all the flames down. He was severely Palach injured, and was 80% of his body burned, and there was no chance to save him. But this man was very brave, and we know him personally because the office of streetcar were in our house. Then came the period which was very dull, grayish, and for my whole family it was an unhappy time.
Ukončete prosím výstup a nástup, dveře se zavírají.
When I was a little child, there was a wonderful, well-kept park going up to the Wenceslas Square, and on the top of it, or in the corner of it, there was a beautiful, large Chinese cherry tree with white blossoms on. And I remember when they started to build a metro here, it was 1972, I suppose. So one day they came and put chains around the bush or around the tree, and they pulled it out with all the wonderful dying white flowers on. And we, with my grandma, who was the side of me, we were crying a lot. So at that moment, I knew that a new period of the whole surrounding here started. There is a main junction of actually two freeways, one going from left to right, it means to south direction, and the upper one goes the opposite direction, with lot of traffic, not very tastefully planned into this place. It was a horrible feeling seeing the first time going not even cars but lorries, buses, no, everything. All the traffic was just passing our windows with lot of course, smoke and lot of noise as well. But still the place is the place where is my home. So I can't tell you it's a bad feeling. It disappoints me, the situation, but I hope it will be in some years rebuilt as it was, with flowers, with trees, more greenery, and of course more silent and peaceful place, which I can see it in my memory still. And then came the 1989, the demonstration in the time of so-called Velvet Revolution. I can recall, or I can still see very vivid, our street was full with police cars, and I remember the policemen just pulling and beating the young students here in front of my window. And once it happened that a young policeman was beating the student to his back, and I was just seeing it from my window. I tried to open the window and just shout, "Stop it, you will hurt him. He has kidneys there." It was my husband who pulled me out of the window, saying, "Vera, they will come and they will beat you. Stop it." So I didn't help that young student. And it's up to this minute, I'm just unhappy not helping him.
Krásný je vzduch, krásnější je moře, krásný je vzduch, krásnější je moře, co je nejkrásnější, co je nejkrásnější, usměvavé tváře, co je nejkrásnější, co je nejkrásnější, usměvavé tváře.
When we know that's coming to the end, the whole communist era, we were full of optimism. Probably we were not too realistic at that time, not knowing that we have to work and to go a long, long way till the real democracy will be re-established in this country. But it was so beautiful, you know. There were thousands and thousands of people shouting, singing in Wenceslas Square, and our patron Saint Wenceslas should be also happy. I think he accompanies us all the way long.
Co je nejkrásnější, co je nejkrásnější, usměvavé tváře.
During the last 20 years, Wenceslas Square had changed a lot. It's not only the promenade for our walking area for the foreigners, but there are funny shops there haven't been before, casinos, which we hate. There is no place for normal bakery, for instance. And it was a beautiful bakery here at the middle of Wenceslas Square. There are a lot of tourists here, but a lot of drug dealers just on the corner here, which we are afraid of. I hope the whole situation comes to the better side of it. They plan to put more greenery, they plan to put more trees, and maybe my grandchildren will see in their future time another and more beautiful place. But still, it's the place I am living and I love to live. I think Wenceslas Square is one of the most beautiful places and squares I have seen in my life, and I have seen a lot of them.
Memories of Wenceslas Square with Věra Kelbelová. I hope you enjoyed this program. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can write to Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic, or you can send us an email to english@radio.cz. For the time being, from me, David Vaughan, and all of us here at Radio Prague, goodbye.